Our lesson is taken from the 91st Psalm, beginning with verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. This morning we are honored to have with us Professor Rudy Hunze and his wife Betty. Our students are well aware of Hunze Hall, which is undergoing construction, and we look forward to being in that next fall. As a little boy, the Hunzes can attest to this. I spent a lot of time in their house. I probably owe them some rent. I remember on the wall in their living room was a picture of two little children in kind of a dangerous situation, and painted inside of that picture was a guardian angel taking care of them and protecting them as a beautiful reminder of God's presence. Through these angels, the presence of these angels to help us in this world and in this life. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe in all things visible and invisible. Your conscience, for instance, is something that is invisible. And yet all people, even atheists, acknowledge the existence of this. You don't need a scalpel to find it or to be able to see it under a microscope. Our inability to see something does not negate its reality. And so it is with these blessed creatures that God has given, these special creatures to care for the work of his creation, and in particular, his believers and faithful in this world. God has created these angelic beings with the specific purpose of providing us with assistance in his great work of our salvation. Now, God could easily have not told us about the angels. There was no real reason he had to, necessarily, and we would never have known that they existed. He could have withheld this from us. They could have done their job, and we would have just gone on through life and so on. But the reason that God in Scripture frequently, as in our text, and consistently reminds us of these blessed angelic hosts is for our comfort and for our confidence. That's why the Lord tells us specifically of something like this that is so invisible to us. In our day and age, there are many modern theologians who are trying to, supposedly from inside of the church, explain away many of the doctrines of Christianity. And this is often one that is likewise under attack, the blessed comfort we have of the angels. To explain it away as some superstitious idea that goes back to centuries ago that really has no credibility today in this modern age of science when everything has to be empirically proven by reason and sight. The great irony is that in promoting this false view of the angels and in trying to decimate this comforting doctrine, they are carrying out the very work of the one evil fallen angel and those who fell with him, the devil himself, known as the liar in Scripture. And if you think about the work of the devil, it is always to rob us of the comfort and confidence that God would give us in the spiritual realm. And so it would make sense for him to attack the doctrine of the angels as well. If your enemy can convince you that he doesn't exist, he's already won the battle. But for believers who love the Word of God and love what God tells us, even about the activity of things in this invisible realm, we have come to see and understand how these angelic beings serve the church and serve the cause of the gospel. Just think of, as I go through a little kind of catalog, if you will, of events just in the life of Christ and in the lives of some of the faithful mentioned in Scripture. Just consider these. They're the first ones to sing praise to God for the arrival of the Savior. They are delighted, we are told, to see how the plan of salvation will play itself out. They are sent to minister to Christ as soon as he is done with the great temptation that he undergoes in the wilderness. They are present with him in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him in the cause of going to the cross to make atonement for all of our sins. And they are right there, aren't they, on Easter Sunday to announce the glorious resurrection of our Lord and all of the wonders that that would now mean for us. We're also told in scriptures that they buried the body of Moses, that they carry the soul of Lazarus to the side of Abraham. Jesus tells us that each little believing child has an angel assigned to him or her. And we're told in Jesus' parables that the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Just think of that. Every time that inside of our hearts the Holy Spirit causes us to see our sin and to be sorry for it and to come to God and seek his forgiveness in Christ, and the rest of the world could care less. It doesn't make headlines. And nobody else can even see that it happens. But in heaven, the angels rejoice when that takes place. We're told that they direct all glory to God. We're told that they surround the throne of God, and they're waiting for the arrival of the saints. Just think of that. Your particular angel who's been assigned to you just can't wait to meet you face to face in heaven, and that they will be involved in the great harvest of souls on the last day. But not only do they serve us in the spiritual realm in the cause of the gospel, they also serve and protect us in the physical realm. How often has it maybe been in our lives that we have attributed the way something worked out for us to chance or luck, that it was just an accidental happening? And maybe in heaven we're going to find out that there was direct involvement by these spiritual beings to protect us. Our text says that God will, that through these angels, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never see danger or possibly physical harm in this life. But rather it means this, that in all of the ways that God has destined and determined for you on your walk of life as you are on your way to heaven, for all of the twists and turns that God has determined, they are there to protect you on that great path. No harm in that sense will come to us until we have fulfilled our divinely appointed time in this life the way God intended it. What a comfort that is, and that they are involved in this precious work. We think often about how special the angels must be to God, that they are in his presence and so on. And yet God would also have us understand that we are even more precious than they to him. And in his eyes. Think of it. When some of those angels fell away from him and he cast them from heaven, he took no steps to redeem them. They were not worth the blood of his son. But you, your sinfulness that needed covering, your righteousness that you lacked, the hell that you would have had to suffer and find out about, all of that for you and your future, that was worth sending his son. So as precious and wonderful as these creatures are in the work of God's kingdom and in his eye, they also demonstrate to us, our knowledge through the scriptures of them demonstrates to us even how more precious and wonderful we are in the sight of our gracious God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.